It is Music Monday, and we are recovering from the end of a great Blackhawks hockey season, and really want to thank them so much for everything they've done. I know they're on their way home. They have landed at O'Hare Airport. They're in their cars. I know they're tuned to WGN Radio. So we are thrilled that it is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio with some brilliant music from Sean with Cold Country. Here he is playing Sweet Dreams.
Kids these days, they say the strangest things, playing their songs till 3:15. Drama dreamers, still their night is young. All I see are dark eyes to the sun.
Yes, Patty.
I don't think we could have had a better musical guest for tonight.
Oh, that was so great.
I want to thank Sean from Cold Country. Were you done? Because I hate to think that I interrupted you.
No, he faded himself.
I know, he faded
that was
himself.
Amazing.
I know, but I still never know. I'm so musically disinclined.
Really nice. He did the little loop thing.
That was beautiful.
He had
Sean,
the looper.
Come and grab a seat.
That's what that's called, right? I'm just going to call that a looper.
Looper? Is that a looper?
Yeah, that's not what it's called.
I don't know if it's what it's called. Sean has grabbed a seat. I've poured him a glass
Sean,
of
you were
Jim Beam because we're mourning tonight. Did you loop?
Tell him to use
yeah, there's a silver
turn yourself
knot
up right there. Gotcha. And you were looping.
You were, was that?
Yeah, but I had to Couldn't bring the band in tonight, so I had to make one out of that loop.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Really, it was beautiful music.
The other two songs were so natural, and when I mess with that thing, I'm always like, oh, God.
Yeah, that was the first song you used it for, and there was a moment where you literally stopped playing, and Patty and I looked at each other like, and there was still music happening.
I know,
yeah.
I didn't understand what was happening. I was like, right? He is amazing.
This is incredible.
No hands.
So beautiful. Thank you so much.
He's doing like a ventriloquist act.
He was throwing his fingers.
Really?
Wait a minute.
It was amazing. That was weird. I think that's what happened.
I don't know, but it was brilliant. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you.
Where are you from originally?
I am originally from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, what brought you to Chicago?
Come on, closer to your microphone. Music. I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, doing the college thing for a couple years. And
the college thing?
Yeah, the
did
university
you finish the college thing.
No, I did 2 years and then got just really disillusioned with that whole thing.
What were you studying that you realized you were in the wrong place at the wrong time?
It got broader and broader as it went. I started off studying photojournalism, and then it was journalism, and then it was just comm theory, and then I almost completed a philosophy minor. I was just reading and writing a whole lot, and I loved that, but it wasn't really going anywhere for me, and I figured, you know, what am I going to do with it?
But you still accumulated experience through those different, you know,
I think a lot of
plans
what
of
I,
study.
Yeah, a lot of what I read there and the people I met, you know, ended up, you know.
Influencing and informing some of the...
Yeah, for sure. And I moved back to the Valley to pursue music as like a trade. So, you know, I learned how to do the engineering gig because I was just really into recording music. I discovered like, oh, I can record music. And I hadn't really broken out of my shell yet as far as songwriting or playing. I was still, you know.
When did you start playing?
That wasn't until I moved back to Chicago or moved to Chicago.
But you had to have played something as a kid.
Well, I learned guitar early on in high school, and
you didn't start
music.
Playing guitar till you were in high school?
You're right.
Would you think that, Craig, of all the musicians we've ever had in the studio? Seriously.
We actually had some
beautiful music.
We actually had a musician that told us that he learned how to play in his like late 20s, early 30s, that was in his mid-40s when he was performing for us.
Right.
And for some reason, I could place that easier than I could place that he just started
a few years ago.
A few years ago.
I mean, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but it's in the last 10 years that you've learned how to play guitar.
At this point, I guess it would be a few more than that.
Okay, but still.
Yeah.
Wow, because I really, such beautiful. Now, do you write the music and the lyrics, or do you collaborate? Or is that all yours?
Every now and again, I'll collaborate on a tune. But for the most part, it's all been just me writing and doing the music. The music part came first. You know, I learned how to play guitar, but I didn't find my voice yet. There was no singing or anything. And when I got into the recording thing, it was just like soundscapes. I'd make ambient kind of music and stuff and just layering. And then when I moved to Chicago, I started meeting people who were really doing it. You know, people in bands who were, I'd never met, you know, back in Phoenix at the time when I was there, there wasn't a whole lot of people really doing it. Everyone's just talking about it, you know. And so I moved to Chicago and like I met a handful of friends and I was like, man, these people are really writing songs and playing shows, and I was going to their shows and that was new to me. And
would they invite you to like sort of have a session where they're writing or jamming and you're kind of like hanging out and taking that all in?
Yeah, I had a buddy early on that I got to sit in on a lot of his songwriting and a lot of his practicing, and it wasn't like I got involved with it, but I just
What was his songwriting process like?
I would listen to him. It was just sit down with some bourbon and, you know, write it out over and over, and then a few days later, it was like get the band in, get the guitarist in, and start finding a hook.
Uh-huh.
And so I got to really just see how the process went. And then, you know, I started there, and then from there, you create your own. Yeah, for sure.
What music were you playing when you started playing the guitar? What were you influenced by?
That's fantastic.
So classic rocks. Are we talking?
Hey, real quick, we are live radio, trying to.
He's a musician.
I poured
him a glass of Jim Beam. That's
all.
Promise
it won't happen.
So when you say like a classic rock, are we talking like AC/DC and Queen or what's? tell me what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely within those time periods and genres. I was more, you know, less of an AC/DC fan and more of a Led Zeppelin fan, or really into Pink Floyd and
Who.
The Who, and I was really into, you know, Neil Young and Bob Dylan and all that. And that's what I grew up with because my folks listened to that stuff. So I just grew up with classic rock radio.
And that's Bob Dylan is also very, because I can hear Bob Dylan in what you're in the lyrics that you write, the kind of emotion, mm-hmm. like not him, but I mean, sort of wanting to scratch at that, mm-hmm. those wounds, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff is a little more personal, but his personal work, you know, if you dig deeper past all the political stuff, he's got some heartbreaking albums.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I referenced immediately the first lyric of your second song, which was "Letter to My Daughters," I think. Which one was the second? The one
Valerie.
It was Valerie with my teeth crumbling on the edge of a dream, because they often the teeth are an element of dreams that are often that people talk about, because it's usually a sign of vulnerability when you dream about your teeth. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you were came as a theme to you?
I wrote that song shortly after a period of time. It was kind of like a, you know, falling out of a relationship, and I was having night after night my teeth were just falling out of my face, mm-hmm. night after night, and
loss of power.
Yeah,
you feeling like
you're very
out of control.
Vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah, and I ended up, you know, I love looking things up, like doing the dream dictionary stuff.
And you should have had Jill Erchick on sometime.
Yeah, and I looked into it, and I was like, oh, wow, this means something. And I felt, you know, vulnerable at the time. And, you know, that ended up becoming a part of that, you know, part of that tune.
Such a great way. I think so many people can identify with that. And it's also, and if they don't, it's also such a vivid image. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that I think it just kind of draws you in right away. It's a beautiful way to, it's a beautiful and strange. Have people mentioned it before?
People tend to like that tune a lot. Sometimes, I mean, I stand behind it, but it's sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, is this really dramatic, or is it all right, you know?
Once you start playing it, it is hard to start questioning it. You have to sort of let it live in whatever way people take it. I was just listening to this great story. Who was it? It might not have been the station. I don't listen to other stations, but they were talking about the writer of Me and Mrs. Jones.
It was probably the station, one of our plus channels or something.
Yes. But they were talking about the passing of the guy who wrote that song, okay. Me and Mrs. Jones. It was this great story about how he and his writing partner had an office above a bar, and they would go down to this bar and hang out. And every day they would see this guy and this woman meet at the same time and kind of hang out and, you know, whatever was going on. And they kind of created their own story around them.
Oh, wow.
But they talked about how they'd written the song, and they had this, they had a singer go out and, you know, was singing it at clubs, and people would beg for him to sing it again because they were drawn into this story. And that's kind of what Valerie reminded me of, sort of, I want to know more about that experience. And I think that's cool. What Me and Mrs. Jones is like.
You know, the people who wrote that song are all from Jersey, just so you know.
It's a great, it's a great song.
It really is. Jersey's a great state.
I'm not going to say the Mrs. Jones that I know. More after this on 720 WGN.
Game set.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. This music is Song of Return from Cold Country. We're talking to Sean. Craig, I looked up at you because I was like, are you just playing a Game of Thrones music? Is that what's happening?
Oh, I wish I was. Melisandre is how old? Oh, my God. I don't even understand.
Not now, Craig.
Okay.
Not now, not ever.
She's
later,
at least 400.
Later.
Okay, go ahead.
We're hanging out with Sean. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do. I can't wait. I'm waiting for my girlfriend to watch that first.
So nothing.
Oh, my
see?
God. Oh, my God. The end of the first episode.
Stop.
No spoilers.
Without any Jon Snow news, still happened. Oh, no, stop throwing.
I just knocked something off the
ledge.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Did you see that?
Have you ever played that game at the carnival?
I hope I haven't.
You'd be so
I hope
good.
I didn't break his guitar or anything.
That's fine.
You didn't hit
a guitar.
Right,
they're built to last.
Well, I was asking you off the air if you would help me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. My 12-year-old son plays the acoustic guitar. We went to our first recital last week. He actually played a little bit of Beethoven and also some Simon and Garfunkel.
Nice.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And we're ready to, I guess, move to electric guitar as well. So we've been looking at a range. Do you
pad the walls?
Yeah, that too. But I think that if you're going to get a guitar, and if it's something he's already done it. He's already 2 years in. He enjoys it. I think it's an important investment. I don't think there's a reason to go. I mean, he's nervous that it costs money, and I understand that. But I don't want him to. If it's something he really wants to do and it's going to last him years, what do you recommend as far as? Because he's looking at finish, but I want him to look at what works for him as well.
Yeah. What it comes down to, a lot of players end up learning this along the way because your first guitar is usually something maybe a little cheaper. It's, you know, more of a entry level. But if you're looking to have something that they can grow into, yeah, it's definitely worth the investment to get, you know, something nicer. I play a Fender Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out on a Strat. I've always liked Fender guitars. They just felt right, you know.
Is Strat a different brand?
Or yeah, so Stratocaster is it's just a different model of a Fender guitar.
Oh, it is a Fender.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, they're both Fender.
What I mean, because I know he's looking at a few of them. There's the Epiphone is like a sort of offshoot of another
of Gibson. Yeah, and those, you know, it's all about when it comes down to those, the difference between a Fender and a Gibson. A lot of it is the feel of it. The neck of the guitar, you know, feels a lot different. Also, it's what kind of music you're into and what kind of tone. You know, the pickups, the electronics of them are a lot different, and they're going to sound different coming out of an amp.
So if he's more of a folk rock, would that be more? Because I think it's somewhere in the lines of what you play.
The Fender's just got this great, you know, the Telecasters and the Stratocasters and the Jaguars and the Mustangs. They all have these great chimey, clean tones to them. You know, they've got lots of single coil pickups as opposed to like a, what they call a humbucker, which is like a really fat, gritty sounding kind of
pickup. And that's more appropriate for what kind of music?
That'd be like, you know, just rock or hard rock, or, you know, if you're using lots of effects and you want, you know, like a really strong, punchy tone, you know?
Yeah, because he does seem to be drawn to the Bob Dylan, the Simon and Garfunkel, you know, Carole King even. It's not what he's playing. He's also playing the theme music from like Star Wars, and he does the Muppet movie, the, you know, Rainbow song.
Yeah, wow.
Know? So he's enjoying
it. Very cool.
And a little bit of Beethoven. So thank you.
If he's playing Beethoven on the guitar, he's already better than I could ever be. So.
Well, it was beautiful to watch because he's also like he also wants to do it justice. He like he almost like worries about getting that wrong. And also, there's a performance. It was the first time he performed in front of an audience.
Wow!
So
that's
that was
very nervous.
It was and that's a complicated.
I remember it well.
Yeah, it was a little. It was. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Dun 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 dun. That one. Whatever. Okay. The one from Die Hard, right? Isn't that in Die Hard? Craig, isn't it? I think it is.
The Die Hard theme.
The Die Hard classic music. So you started when you were a teenager playing guitar. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to pick up a guitar?
It was The Doors and the Beatles.
The Doors and the Beatles?
Yeah, really. I got obsessed with The Doors. It was the first time I heard music, you know, like on headphones intimately, where I was like, what is that sound? I love this. And I didn't really know the difference sonically between new music and classic rock at the time. I later learned that as I would switch back and forth.
Right.
And so I loved the music so much that I was like, I want to do this. I want to pick up the guitar and learn how to play these songs. So my guitar teacher, he was also my history teacher in high school. He started doing like after hours lessons and stuff. I took him up on it, and he was a Beatle fanatic.
Oh, really?
And he was like, before I'm done with you, I'm going to make you a Beatle fan.
Look out.
It's like, yeah, right. Well, I became obsessed.
Well, real quick, Griffin is playing this.
On guitar.
He's playing this?
I think
the Ode
this.
To Joy? This is from Die Hard for sure.
Yeah.
That's the Ode to Joy.
He played Ode to Joy.
Griffin is a lot better of a human than a lot of us. That's fine. Go ahead. You talk.
I mean, he wasn't
yourselves.
Doing like the horn section.
No, it's
he
fine.
Was like a one man band.
All of that on guitar.
He was playing that on his guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just what he, I don't.
It's pretty incredible.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful to listen. And gosh, I hope I'm right about that. Steve will correct me on the podcast, but I'm pretty sure that's what he played. But he did also play Simon and Garfunkel. And what was I going to ask you? I'm all over the place right now with your history teacher was, so with the passing of Prince, because everyone's talking about guitar, what an amazing guitar player he was, because I think we kind of forget what his, you know, it's almost like, did we not love what he did before he passed away last week? Do you kind of get that sense?
We
already revered him, but it is his intensity of the loss.
Yeah, it is. It's always the, you know, we appreciate that we're there, that they're there. And, you know, for those of us who love their music, like Bowie and Prince, Bowie is a huge, huge influence on me early on. My mom showed me Bowie way early on into the music thing. And we always love, but we take for granted, you know, there's no permanence, you know, we're all going to go away. And it's not until they're gone, you know, that we sit back and we're like, whoa, they're not here.
Yeah.
And whether you were a close friend of theirs or you never knew them before, it's just, it hits you for us that are influenced by them. But yeah, and it's also strange. I don't jump on that wagon too much where everyone's...
The sorrow train.
Yeah, not too much because I appreciate, you know, they lived amazing lives, you know, and it's nothing to... mourn. You know, I mean, you mourn the passing of somebody that you loved and was here and now they're not. But, you know, it's not like it's a tragic end. He had an incredible career and influence.
It's a celebration of his music,
yeah,
too.
Should, and that's what more people should be celebrating more than anything else.
And I think they are. I think that, that a lot of the tributes to him have been pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I showed Griffin the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with a George Harrison tribute. What's it called? My Guitar Weeps?
Well, My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Gently Weeps.
Song.
Yeah. It should gently weep. It shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be any other kind of weeping, but gently. And it's funny how much people have been playing that over the last week. And that quote, it's funny. Now I've actually heard people misquote it, and I'm sure I'll misquote it as well, when they asked Eric Clapton what it feels like to be the world's greatest guitar player. And he said, I don't know.
Right.
Go ask Prince.
Oh, wow. And, I don't know if I'd heard
that's
that.
That's a quote that I've heard. I've heard and then reheard and then heard it misquoted, and I'm sure I have as well.
Yeah, he is one of those underrated players where I think the like the glam or the ego and the sonic nature of
and
his
the heels
tunes
and the buttless pants. Yeah.
Well, just like the pop aspect of what he did kind of overshadowed his playing ability. And that happens from time to time. Not all guitarists are known amazing guitarist, but somebody like Prince, it's like, that guy could play the guitar.
Yeah, he definitely could. And Craig, have you heard this as well? And I know we're a little bit late, but have you heard that there's a vault of like full production videos to brand new music that's never been released that he just has on lockdown?
Oh my God. Sure. And he was writing his memoir. By the way, that quote, the Eric Clapton quote, is not, that's not real.
It's not real?
No, that's not.
I've heard it said so many times.
I know. It's all over Twitter since Prince's passing. Unfortunately, Eric Clapton never said that. So.
But does he wish he had now?
Probably.
It's a great quote.
Yeah, it's a really good quote.
It's a really good quote.
It's a perfect quote.
It's just a shame he didn't say it.
Right, it's fine.
I'm glad you... Thank you.
Yeah, you're what? Snopes denies it.
I've heard it so many times. Well, there you go. Fair enough. Eric Clapton also great. Apparently, Eric Clapton is the world's greatest guitar player. I want to thank Sean so much. Before you go, I have to take a selfie with you, by the way. You want to plug something? You have a video?
Yes. The last song I played tonight, I did a video. And David Wolf, he shot and directed it. And that drops tomorrow. Radio 1 Chicago is going to be premiering it. So I guess tune into that. That's what I played tonight. That's the new single. I'm working on a new album right now.
And the last one was Sweet Dreams. So
yep,
Radio
Sweet Dreams is the new single, and
it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Radio 1 Chicago tomorrow. Yep. And where else can we find your music and download it?
You
buy
can find it,
purchase music, support our artists.
All over Bandcamp, at coldcountry.com, and it's on iTunes, Spotify, you know, CD Baby, all the digital outlets. Yeah, you
all
can.
The cool kids.
We're up there.
By the way, Esmeralda, I haven't meant to ignore you all the time. Here's Sean, Cold Country. It's Esmeralda up there on the top right.
We haven't had time to
see her, to say hi to her
behind
all night.
The scenes.
I know. She's been holding down the fort. I'm sorry, Esmeralda. I keep meaning to turn to you.
Oh, no worries.
Hi, Esmeralda. I heard about your bachelorette party.
It was mine.
I mean, the one that you
your
went to.
Your bachelorette
like,
party.
No.
Oh, my God, you're getting married.
No, she was in Michigan.
Oh, my God.
She was exciting. She was in Michigan with a bunch
How
of
How did he propose? What did he do?
Girls. A bunch of girls she was
one,
hanging with.
One,
was there a pillow
what
fight
happened?
At all?
No? No pillow fight.
All right, we'll talk about it when we come back. We should probably go to the
news. What landmark did V choose?
What, do we have a break before the news?
No, you can go right to
it. Well, I'd probably do that then.